let's get this church service done so we can get out on the golf course. And I'm not speaking against golf. That's not the point. It's the heart that says, let's do our religious duty and then go do what we want to do. The preacher says, well, I won't keep you here past 12 o'clock. They kept Jesus past 12 o'clock, didn't they? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so, what are we going to give back to the Lord in relationship to what He has given us? Well, in eternity, or at the judgment seat of Christ, the greater the price that we have paid here on earth, the greater our rejoicing will be in His presence. And if our heart attitude was, get me out of church at 12 o'clock, we're going to miss out on a lot. And like Dave said before, we're not just moving towards the judgment seat of Christ. We are rushing towards the judgment seat of Christ. For laying aside, this is verse 8, laying aside the commandment of God. Why? Well, because that brings death. Laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Don't eat meat on Friday. Say three Our Fathers. Wait a minute. Let's stop there. When Jesus said, when you pray, say, the words that He was speaking are spirit and they are life. He did not want us to reduce them to flesh. So as a Catholic, I would say, three Our Fathers, three Hail Marys, and three Glory Bees. And I got to the point where I could say 10 as fast as I could say 3. You think this is... I'm not trying to be humorous. I'm trying to point something out. But the Lord wasn't... He wasn't talking about repeating that prayer. For example, when we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He's speaking about having a spirit of forgiveness when you pray. So that when He comes and He says, okay, Jake... He says, you remember when this David Stahl said something and it offended you? That you became upset with him and there's a little bit of hardness of heart towards him? Our Father, what name will help you? I can't come with him. I don't want that. I want your heart changed. I want you to forgive them as I have forgiven you. And here's something. Follow peace with all men. How am I going to do that? How are you going to do that? Apart from the Spirit of God. Because you might be following peace with somebody who is going to literally kill you. I know... this guy's crazy. But it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were beating him, he was still following peace with them. And when they were nailing him to the cross, he was still following peace with them. And as he's giving up his last drop of blood, Father, forgive them. And that is what he wants in us. That's nothing less than life and more abundant life. But it only comes to those who obey Him. He gives the Spirit to those who obey Him. So it's like we have to back up. We have to stop. In our hearts, we have, you know, we're so rushing everywhere. We have to stop and say, okay, Lord, what's the next step? And the Spirit says, right foot, one step ahead. Stop. Now let's deal with what's here. Walk circumspectly. This is serious stuff. Yes. I have one thing in this life, and that's my heart, my inward condition that I'm taking to God. People say, do you rent or own? We all rent. That's not my car out there. Not your car out there. If it lasts long enough, you're going to pass from this earth and you'll be laying next to it, and yet that car won't mean a thing to you. The only thing that's going to matter is this. And we are responsible for so much because we have heard so much. Walk circumspectly. Verse 18. And he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding? He's saying this to the disciples, the apostles. Don't you perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? That brother had a glass of wine. Doesn't defile him. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what's already there. Well, what's there? Well, Jesus tells us, that which cometh out of a man defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, and the like. And what do men do? They lay aside the commandment of God that would deal with these things, and they cover it with religious clothing, activity. And very few will let the Lord strip them naked, that they might be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It might be very good for us all just to sit for about a week like Job's friends and not say anything for a week. Let the Lord really get into our hearts. I want this right. Now you go and confess. You go and ask so-and-so for forgiveness. Watch the knee, from what I understand, went to at least 7,000 people and asked forgiveness. If I remember that correctly. Look in Romans chapter 6. Verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 12. Romans 6, 12. Let not sin. Now, what's the subject of that sentence, all you English majors? You. You are responsible. I am responsible to let not sin reign in my mortal body, but to yield my members as instruments of, don't yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What he is saying here is that God will break the power of sin in you by your yielding yourself to God. He's the only one who can do it. You cannot break that power. He has to do it in you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under the grace? God forbid. He says, don't you know? And he's not talking about up here. He's talking about in your inner being. Don't you know that if you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, whom you obey. If you obey sin, he says, then that will be unto death. In other words, you start here, and your obedience takes you, your obedience to sin, takes you to a place where death reigns. In other words, relationships might be killed. So a man, a married man, chooses to cheat on his wife. He yields himself to sin. The result of that thing is the death of his relationship with his wife, perhaps no longer living with his children and the like. And not just that death, but all the subsequent death that is in place of what would have been the blessing of God had he obeyed. He says, or, now watch this, or of obedience unto righteousness. So here again, you go from one state to another state. You go from your obedience into a greater state of righteousness. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And then when you get there, the Lord will speak another word. You believe that, he'll take you further, and he'll take you further. And that's why Paul says, he said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that I am clothed in because I am obeying what God is telling me to do. I am where God wants me to be. My attitudes are what God wants them to be. And I am obeying the Lord. I yielded myself to him. Now let's, maybe we can close by going to Hebrews chapter 3. Well, let's look at one more before we go there, and that would be 1 Peter chapter 1.